Hello and welcome to Pueblo Star Sports. I am Ben Kaysen here with Brandon Samora, brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. Brandon, Super Bowl was yesterday. It's over. Great night. Ton of fun. You know what that means. It's baseball season. It's baseball time. Spring training's right around the corner for Major League Baseball. We had PAC baseball opening up. It's baseball time in Pueblo, Colorado, and there's a lot going on. Brandon, how are you today, bud?
Oh, I'm great, Ben. And first out of the car, Rangers hat. Brandon, it's baseball season.
It's baseball
time. Yes, sir. Yes, Ben, it is. And I'm so excited. I mean, Thunderbolts, we'll get to them in a little bit. They kicked off, and it's just baseball weather, springtime, a little warmer today. I know we've got the six longer weeks of winter, courtesy of Mr. Punxsutawney, but gosh, Punxsutawney let us down this year. But I think it's going to be a great season. Baseball is just like, it's just one of those things that you can't replicate opening day and the buildup of spring training, all of that. It's just so fantastic.
Yeah, yesterday, me and my buddy, so we throw the baseball, you know, we get together, we played in high school, so we'd throw the ball, just throwing the baseball nice and warm yesterday during the day. Ah, it's beautiful. It's just a special feeling when we get into the spring. And you know, we're not a Major League Baseball podcast, but the Texas Rangers have a lot of hope, and a lot of my well-being has to do with the Texas Rangers. It's been a rough couple of years.
It has, but like, so you said, potential.
Everyone's got hope right now. Yeah, and the Thunderwolves have a lot of hope as well. So they started their season up this last weekend. We have an interview with Coach Bobby Applegate of the CSU Pueblo baseball team. Brandon interviewed him this week. That's coming towards the end of the podcast, so keep an eye out for that. And yeah, we'll be breaking down a little bit of PAC baseball this season. But first, before we get into some of the baseball stuff, Brandon, it's a huge week for wrestling. Wrestling state championships are coming up, and if you don't know, Pueblo usually represents incredibly well at this tournament, so we want to have a little roundup for that. The bracket is not out yet as of this recording, but you can find it by checking out CHASA. Yeah, Brandon, let's talk about the wrestling. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so regionals were this weekend, and and if you're unfamiliar with the wrestling structure and how it operates with high school and CHASA, regionals is where, you know, you may have those guys that, you know, they're ranked number one all year. Well, you got to perform at regionals to punch that ticket to the state championship. So the teams did that here this weekend, and we had good finishes from a lot of our Pueblo schools, the Wildcats, the Hornets, to keep in mind, and then the East Eagles as well had great finishes at regionals. And this is the time where, you know, the brackets are coming out. This week is just building that anticipation. And then up there, up in Denver, you know, the stakes are high. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. And if you've never been up there before, I would say that's definitely got to be, especially if a Pueblo team like the East Eagles this year and like a few others of our schools here in Pueblo, that environment at up in Denver at Ball Arena is just so, it's unreplicable. The energy in there, everything. You have the mats.
The mats and
everything. It's just so, so fantastic. So with regionals and everything, it's just build it up and state this weekend. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a ton of fun. And those state tournaments are Thursday through Saturday, the 16th through the 18th up in Denver. So we'll have more coverage on that next week of some of the results, some of the players who were in it. But it's been an interesting season to watch. You know, that the Central program has kind of come along a lot this last year, but East and County are kind of in Pueblo, the traditional wrestling powerhouse schools. But Pueblo itself, they showed out pretty well. This regional tournament was really interesting. So Brandon, yeah, let's highlight some people. Who all from Pueblo is going to be qualifying? Who should we keep our eyes on?
Yeah, so East had 11 qualifiers for them, and shocker, they've had just a fantastic season with the wrestlers they have. It always seems to be that there's a few freshmen that come in, there's a few newcomers that come in, and they just perform so well. And it's really, it's crazy just the, you know, the repeatability that East has had the last few years, because they had the first state championship back when I was in school, and you know, we thought, okay, you know, those come, you know, once every decade maybe, but no, East has been back in it years following. I mean, they had the runner up the year before, and then the state championship. It's just been so fantastic. So with East, they had five champions at regionals. There was LJ Herberger, Paki Amaro, Nico Fernandez, Tatum Rivera, and then Weston Dalton. And then they had four runners up. So those four also qualify for state: Daniel Duarte, Sully De Herrera, and then both Sebastian Freeman and Justice Freeman, both Freemans, the last two Freemans, should we say, to go through of the Freeman foursome, as I like to call them. And then East also had a few, or two others. Kalen Holmes qualified, and Kalen Holmes, fantastic football player this year. First year wrestling, like I mentioned, first year wrestling, extremely competitive heavyweight division. So he's going to be another name to look out for, but he's just, 11 through out of the 14 possible weight classifications, just
incredible.
Incredible.
Yep. Dang, that blows my mind. Yeah, I mean, they've had such a consistent program, like you mentioned, Brandon, and you made the joke about the Freemans, right? But they they have had kind of like families come through with a few different ones that come to mind, like the Robleses come to mind. You've got a few other people like that we see multiple of them coming through, and they're winning a lot. So I'm excited about that. Central is another school that's interesting to me. They've kind of been building their program over the last 5-6 years. I think we both got a friend who's kind of on the coaching staff for that. So how'd they do?
So Central, and like you said, they've been in that, they're building up, and Central too is one of those things where all of our other Pueblo schools wrestle up in 4A, yep. And then Central wrestles in 3A. So yep. Bit of a difference for them, but they have had some great wrestlers this season. And one of those ones that I want to highlight is, Jordan Atencio too has been fantastic, but the number one ranked 165 pounder, Renato Pino, he has just been fantastic. And he had a great football season and just glowing reviews from all the Central staff. And the few times that I've spoke with them this season, Renato Pino is one of those guys, they're hanging their hat on him. He's going to be that one that, takes down a state title. He runner up last year. So he's going to be one of those big guys. Another emerger for them was Mariano Romero Garcia in the 285 classification. Huge guy. Just a huge guy. I referred to him a few times as, like the Coke machine with legs, for the Wildcats. They would put him in at fullback during football season. And, just a few fantastic blocks, few guaranteed first down runs for him. So Central is going to have, they're currently sitting at 10th in the team rankings. So they're going to be fighting there. It may not be a team title, but it's going to be, they're going to be looking for a few individual titles as they move through the bracket this weekend.
Good stuff. Yeah. And so just also want to give one shout out to County. What does County's tournament look like?
County. So it's a little weird too. The fact that Pueblo East is not in the same regional bracket for their regional tournament that happened this past weekend. They're with Canyon City, and that's about it when it comes to our surrounding schools. They're wrapped in with more of the Cheyenne Mountains, Broomfield, Coronado. They have a little more of those northern teams wrapped in. And then when you look at the region, I believe it's region 4 that County wrestles in, but they went at it with Montrose. They fell short in the team standings at regionals to Montrose, but Montrose has been another one of those teams up there. It seems like every year it comes down to County, Montrose, East, a few other schools that battle in there, but they're one of those schools that perennial powerhouses where those wrestlers just come in year in and year out. County took second overall at regionals, and then in that same bracket is where Pueblo West, Centennial, and South all sit, and they went 6 through 8. So West ended up at 6th, Centennial ended up at 7th, and South ended up at 8. So all those schools too, may not be a team title, but they've got those individual wrestlers to where they can make some runs and they can possibly be wrestling on Saturday when it comes down to it. So there's going to be a lot of Pueblo wrestlers in the mix, and it's always so exciting to watch, and it's almost hard to follow along with the official CHASA posts and the CHASA updates that come out. It's more fun to just be on Facebook and constantly just Thursday through Saturday, just constantly updating, and you're going to find someone who's going to be posting the results. And but so many Puebloans that are going to be competing on in this state tournament, Ben. It's going to be really, really exciting this upcoming weekend.
That's good. And we're going to have more coverage on the results of that come our podcast next week. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to be talking about the winners. We're going to be talking about how that goes. But yeah, I mean, let's just talk about, for these kids coming up to this big tournament, what does this week, you think, look like for them, Brandon? What do they need to do upcoming before this major tournament?
Oh, well, this is one of those traps to where, you want to prepare harder than you've ever prepared. No, whatever you've been doing this season, keep it all the same. Stay in that routine, because especially when you go to an environment like this out of your comfort zone, these kids are used to, obviously, a lot of them do travel, in and out of wrestling season. Most of them wrestle all year long just because they're that good. But you just got to stay in your routine. routine. This is going to be a big trip. And obviously at school all this week, they're going to be going through the festivities. There's going to be the assemblies. There's going to be the, you know, all the meetings. I remember walking out and clapping out the wrestling team, you know, nearly every year I was at East, and there's a lot of excitement brewing. And I think it's the perfect time frame for a lot of these teams too, because a lot of these schools, and East specifically, I mean, they haven't had the best basketball season. They haven't had, sure, you know, some of those things to rally around, really, with the student sections and the students really getting involved. So I think for a lot of these teams, and for County and East specifically, and then like we said, Central, South, Centennial, all going to be sending wrestlers up there. This is a big chance for the students to get involved. And I think there's going to be a real good feeling of camaraderie for all of these schools that'll be participating in state, because it's just truly a team oriented event. I feel like wrestling brings that culture out of everyone. It just, there's so many feel good stories that come out of it. It's really just so exciting.
And there's just, like you said, so many chances for big individual performances for schools. Even if the school itself hadn't had a great year, you know, you can have one individual guy who's going to go on a deep run, and then the team stuff will be really interesting. So yeah, like Brandon said, they set out what, 10, 12 mats at the Denver Event Center, which is incredible. So if you want to go check that out, you can find tickets. They're kind of split up into sessions, which is interesting up there. So you can find that by checking out ChassaNow.com, finding that. There's six sessions. You have two on each day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So keep an eye out for that. And as you get later in the weekend, you'll have the bigger matches. So it's set up in brackets. They'll work their way down. Team titles are based on how much points are going to be put together by their guys. So all that stuff will be in flux. And like Brandon said, we'll have more coverage coming next week on our podcast. So
yeah, perfect. And I love state too, because we wrap up on Saturday and then everything is wrapped up and putting a bow for us on Sunday. So we'll be perfect with all our results. And
we'll know exactly what happened.
Oh yeah, that'll be perfect.
That's perfect. Awesome, man. Well, let's talk some baseball. You ready to talk some baseball?
Oh, I'm always ready to talk baseball, Ben.
Well, the Pack opened up their season this weekend, and they didn't start the way they wanted to start. The opening day was a 22-5 loss, and then they lost their second game 4-2. But we want to talk a little bit today about the team, what's coming up on the year, and then we have our interview with Coach Applegate from the Thunderwolves baseball team coming up soon. And it's worth saying, St. Edward's, the team that CSU Pueblo played, they're off to a 6-0 start. They're number 16 in the nation. It's not an easy opening day for them. So we'll kind of get more of a feel of how this team goes as the season goes. You play like 50 games of baseball every year too, so you're going to lose a couple. But yeah, they start 0-2. Brandon, what are your early thoughts for this Pack team?
You know, I think you may look at this and you may look at the 22-5 score that happened on Friday. And like you said, these, you know, right now, and a few times I mentioned on the broadcast, this is a mulligan for them. You know, a tough opponent like this starting out your season. Yes, you want to come away with a win to start your season, and especially with this opening series. But you just have so many games, you can't dwell on it. And, you know, the Thunderwolves are 0-2 right now. They may be 5-2 in, you know, five games time. So, you know, everything can happen. And obviously this St. Edward's team, a great ball club that started out at 16, and I bet they go up after their performance this week. The Thunderwolves, they just got to keep their heads moving forward, and I think this is a really good team, and with Bobby at the helm too, the camaraderie between this team is building. I mean, people forget too. I feel like Bobby's been here for longer than just two seasons. And, you know, this is second season now. The Thunderwolves are really going to come into their own this year. And I think that expertise of, you know, the players coming in and meshing with Bobby and the coaching staff, it's just going to continue to grow. And last year, I mean, great finish for a first year coach and with the core they had. So I think Bobby's going to build on the experience of these guys. But moving forward, I mean, this 0-2 start, they'll put it in the rearview mirror, Ben. We'll just toss it out.
I agree. And in baseball, you play so many games. You know, last year they went 27-26, but the Pack, they actually had their season end against UCCS, who was a top five team at that time last year, or number six last year. So they're playing them on Tuesday night this week. So that'll be a fun kind of early season test. Boy, Coach Applegate didn't give his guys any breaks on the schedule these first three games.
No.
These tough teams, but maybe that's how they like it. But yeah, this team really picked up a lot of momentum down the stretch, and then they had a bit of a losing streak to finish, and then they made a little bit of noise in the RMAC tournament but went out. But you mentioned it, Brandon. It was his first year, and when it comes to a lot of programs, we saw this with the Pack soccer team. When you have a new coach, you wait till the second or third year to get their guys in and get their system kind of set. And that's nothing against Coach Stamberski or Coach Sanchez before them, but that's the way college sports work, because you're recruiting guys in, you're bringing guys in on transfer. And, you know, nowadays it does probably flip a little faster than it used to. But, you know, this is starting to become Coach Applegate's team of guys that he's brought in. And, you know, they're buying into the vision of that. So I'm excited to see how it goes. They've got a few really nice hitters in the middle of this order. And Reggie Williams is a guy I really want to highlight. They have him hitting towards the top of the lineup. He's a first baseman, comes out of Castle Rock. He's been around the program for a while. In 2020, I think, was his first year with the program. But he gets on base well. He hits the ball hard. He had a big triple in the game on the first game. But left-handed power. He reminds me a lot of his predecessor at first base, which was Gil Sauceda, who was at CSU Pueblo for a while, who plays good defense, can get on base. So I think he's going to be one of the key leaders for this team. Also got to mention Colton Miller. He's been around this team for a while as well, middle infielder, and he's off to a pretty good start, hitting 429 to open up the season through two games. So yeah, there's a few different contributors that we kind of know. Who are some of the guys that maybe caught your eye this week that we don't know as well?
And one of those guys that really catches my eye and you know, had a great year last year is Noah Hennings. Comes from Draper, Utah, and all RMAC last year, and just had a great season last year. 356 last year batting average, and he had 65 hits through 194 at bats. So just fantastic at the plate, he just plays great defense for the Thunderwolves as well. He's really just one of those all around guys, and Coach Applegate was really high praising of him. You know, obviously, I think these Thunderwolves have a lot of those guys like Hennings and like Reggie Williams, like you mentioned, that they've been around this program, a few seasons. And so, you know, they're these leaders on the team. And I think Hennings is one of them. You know, he had I wouldn't say a start that he wanted on Friday, but I think Hennings is going to come into his own this season and, you know, build off of that all RMAC selection last year. I mean, that's, you know, one of those honors here for the Thunderwolves, especially in a season like that where they go 500, you know, those are those awards, especially, you know, those are what you accomplished there that season. And I think Hennings, Williams, and like you mentioned, Colton Miller, just some of those guys, another big returner for them, Brady Pruitt. Pruitt was great. He was great last year batting, and I think just another one of those leaders for this Pac team, and interacting with a lot of these ball players, the camaraderie between them, just there's just something special between them. I think they feel like one of those clubs where, you know, they've just all known each other for their whole lives, and you get that energy from them. And this is a lot of guys that, you know, they come in and they've known each other for, you know, a few years, but some of these guys are really new. And I think just the camaraderie between the team, I mean, they have fun out there. That's one of those big things too. The energy between the team is just great, man.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, I think every time you talk about a Thunderwolves baseball team, you've got to go, how's the pitching? Because I think that's always what it comes down to, because some of the best years in recent memory has been, you know, that the 2019 team made some noise. They had Josh Dahl, and then now Detroit Tigers starter Bo Briscoe is in that rotation, right? So for the Pack pitching wise, they lose Tim McIntyre, but this is a team with some veteran guys coming back. So Zach Pratt got the opening day ball, and, you know, he didn't have the best day, but he's a guy that Coach Applegate clearly trusts a lot. He gave him 3 2/3 innings in that one. But he's one of a couple arms. I was impressed by Tyler Curtis here in this first couple games. He gave up just 2 runs over 6 innings in the second game. Frank Wireman's a guy who threw a lot last year. Edwin Corrales had a lot of innings last year for this team. I'm excited to see all of them kind of come back and settle into their roles as the year goes on.
Yeah. And I think too, for, you know, that opening day start that Pratt had, and along with Charlie Williams, who came in relief directly after him. But, you know, I think you got to throw those starts, you know, you can't throw them out completely. Obviously you got to build off of those appearances, but, you know, I think there's better to come from both of them. And like you mentioned too, even though Pratt gave up those runs through that start, I mean, he stayed in there. I mean, it takes a lot to take that mental toughness and to stay in there, keep grinding away, keep trying to get those outs. And it was just a few bad breaks that just combined into a really bad second inning for Pratt. So I think moving forward, he's still going to be one of those guys that, you know, Applegate turns to, and he's going to be that one that they throw out there for those big games and, you know, those big starts. And Charlie too, I mean, got 2 outs and then gave up a few runs there in that first game. Another player I'd like to keep an eye on here too is Dylan Weaver. Dylan Weaver came in top of the ninth in that game on Friday and just threw 3 great outs, faced 4 batters, 1 singled, and then just 3 punch outs. Great, great over the top, you know, slight three quarter delivery from Weaver. He really brings the heat. And I think the combination of the bullpen guys, the starters, yeah. I think Bobby's got a great core he's building off of. And there's a lot of young pitchers through, you know, this pitching core and this pitching side of things for the Thunderwolves. I think they've got a few big guys in here that are going to make some noise this year.
Yeah. And these first couple weeks of the season, there's always a little bit of fluidity with your pitching staff. You know, you're kind of figuring it all out together. But one thing that I would say is, you know, you gave up some runs against the team they just played, you know, and that happened. But in 18 innings of baseball, you only walked 7 batters, which is not bad. That's better than it has been in the past. So when it comes to giving up free passes and pitching that way, that's something that I can already see some improvement on early in the year. Yeah, I'm hopeful for this team. There's a lot of good things about this club. And you mentioned there's a good mix of the veteran players and the younger players with, you know, a lot of Bobby's guys who've been coming in. So I'm excited about this club.
Yeah. And one of the things I talked about with Bobby a lot is, you know, just his background with coaching and pitching coaching specifically. Yeah. I mean, just he was a great pitcher in his time and then has just done some great work with the coaching side of things for all the pitchers he's, you know, he's been with and all the programs he's been with. And that experience going from, you know, that Division II level, then up to Division I, and then, you know, all the things that he's been intermingled with has just shown him so many different things. And he's truly one of those guys that I think a lot of those players, you know, all of them hopefully, you know, look up to and for that guy. Guidance. You know, he's been there, he's been in their shoes. He's seen, you know, countless pitchers come through. So he's that guy that he's going to keep them all together as good or as bad the season may go for any club and for any player. I think Bobby's one of those coaches, you know, where he's going to keep everything together for that sake of this team.
That real stabilizing force.
Oh yeah. Oh
That's
yeah.
That's good. Sweet, man. Well, let's take a jump over to Samora's Star of the Week before we get into the interview with Coach Applegate. So that's coming if you want more Thunderwolf baseball coverage right after this. So let's talk. Who's your star of the week this week, Brandon?
So my star of the week, changed it up a little bit this week. We're going wrestling, and I'm just going to give it to the East wrestling team because I think the East wrestling team, and as unbiased as I could be as an East Eagle alumni, this East Eagle team is one of the best that they've had in recent years with the finishes they've had, the top-ranked guys that they've had up consistently at the top of the rankings all season long. I mean, Sebastian Freeman's been ranked number one in the 175 for since last year. Yeah, and with their performance at regionals with the guys they have on this team and Coach Pat Laughlin is just such a great guy, such a great motivator for them. I'm giving it to these East Eagles and this wrestling team because I think this is one of those teams that programs and the dynasties that may come out of programs. East is still in their wrestling dynasty at the moment. And this is one of those teams that can help cement this as, you know, one of those stretches in Pueblo like we talk about with football, you know, in the 2010s and the runs that East and South had. This is one of those runs for East with their appearances at state and their state champions they've had. This is where they can really cement that dynasty.
I love it. That's a great star of the week, Brandon. We're excited to see how they finish the season. So we'll be having more breakdowns on that coming in next week's episode, which will come out next Monday. Sweet. Well, let's move over to the Star Sports slate. Let's talk about the big games from last week and move into the big games coming up. So I warned you guys on this program last week, Central County was going to be a better game than people expected, and it went into overtime. It was a terrific game. Central ended up pulling it out 68-61. Josh Sanchez had 18 points in that one. And yeah, I think that's just another show that the County Hornets, they've got a lot of fight in them.
Oh yeah. The Hornets have a lot of fight in them. Yeah. And this Central team, I mean, we could talk for hours about them. They're deep. Yeah. They're really great with their fundamentals. And this is just a great game. And the Hornets, they've been fighting all season. They've been playing great. And this was one of those ones, I think for the Hornets, if they would have came away with the W, this would have been like that. Whoa, watch out, watch out. The Hornets are here to stay, but a good win for Central. And like you said, Ben, I mean, you prefaced it. These Hornets, watch out for them. They are tough and they just play good basketball. I mean, one of those things that, you know, it's all the fundamentals done correctly. And it's just one of those things where it just makes basketball so beautiful.
For sure. It's a tough team. And man, they've got to find a way to win these last couple games here to hope they can get into the playoffs. They'll be kind of on that bubble. So I'm excited to see how that goes. We wanted to give a highlight to RMAC or CSU Pueblo's swim and dive team. They finished their season at the RMAC tournament and they finished seventh of the eight teams, but it was not a bad run for this team. They had a fifth place finish in the 800 freestyle relay. They had the seventh place in the 400 medley relay, the seventh place in the 400 freestyle relay, and eighth place in the 200 medley relay, eighth place in the 400 IM, and then eighth place in the 1650 freestyle. That's all the top 10 finishes that they had, which were a good bit, which it was seven top 10 finishes total, including four of its relay teams posting top eight finishes. So, you know, maybe not entirely the big result they would hope for. They had some nice results throughout, but out of the whole tournament, not a bad showing for PAC, for the PAC swim and dive team.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording today. You know, when a sport like this, and even I think you can bridge it over to wrestling, you know, like we were talking about a little bit earlier,
yeah,
the performances at the end of the day, that's what establishes those team scores. And you can have these great individual performances, you know, top tens, top fives, and you may not have the, you know, the ones at the top that they take home an RMAC championship, but those finishes, you know, they mean something to this team. And, you know, for a Thunderwolf team that's continually trying to grow and better their program, those finishes matter. And, you know, breaking records and going to these tournaments and doing well, all that matters for them. So a great finish for them. I mean, nothing to hang your hat on, and nothing certainly to hang your head about. So good finish from the Thunderwolves.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, this was Mesa's fifth straight RMAC championship for that. They've kind of become the dynasty of swim and dive. So I'm excited to see over the next couple of years how CSU Pueblo continues to build the program and start to challenge them a little more in that. But well done for that team. And then our last, you know, event of last week was PAC baseball. Like I mentioned, they lost their first two games, but they do host UCCS on Tuesday here as they continue into their season. All right, so now here's the big games coming up this weekend. And the first one we already talked about, it's the state tournament. Wrestling is happening in Denver Thursday through Saturday. Those events are going to be two different kind of sections during each day, kind of a morning and an afternoon. Check out ChassaNow.com if you'd like to go check out that tournament. And like Brandon said, there's going to be a lot of Puebloans competing in that, whether you go all the way down to, you know, Rye, Dolores Huerta, all the smaller schools, all the way up to East County and the big tournaments there. So that'll be a lot of fun this weekend. A lot of mats, a lot of wrestling. It's a huge event, like you said, for Colorado wrestling. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, there's going to be Puebloans on each day out there. And, you know, all the way up to championship Saturday, it's going to be a fun weekend. And there's going to be a lot of competition. And it's always so well, too, because you get everyone competing there and you get to see all the diversity between the schools. You get to see the diversity between, you know, the classifications and the competition that goes on. So it's really one of those big melting pot events where you get to see a little bit of everything. And it's really just a fantastic time.
I'm with you on that. So then we also want to give a highlight to Pueblo Bulls hockey. They've only got two homestands left in the season. They'll be hosting the Utah Outliers. They're already in the playoffs, the way that it's set up for them. So they are in the playoffs. They started the season really hot, 21-13. However, they have lost nine games in a row. So in terms of sports narratives to watch, these games here at home against Utah could be where this team starts to turn the corner if they want to make a deep run. The Outliers did sweep the Bulls up in Utah a few weeks ago. So for this team, those games are going to be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So keep an eye out for that. And, you know, if they want to make a run, this is probably where you need to start making your stand.
Oh, yeah. And we know the Bulls can win games, and we know they can win close games against good opponents. And it always seems they come back out of the winter break and the Bulls just forget how to skate. They can't win. And you know, I think this is really one of those points, too, for a young organization like the Pueblo Bulls as well. You know, you win a few games here and you set your confidence up pretty high going into the playoffs. Anything can happen. Like you said, Ben, they're already in the playoffs. They're already in the final dance. They are just trying to find that momentum. This is not about, you know, even if some of these close games may come away in losses, they've just got to find something out with the team, find out what's wrong and just correct that. I mean, because that's one of those things to where you get something right and you guys get hot right before the playoffs, you could make that run and you could win the whole thing.
Yeah, you definitely could. And this is not a bad team. Like you said, they've shown earlier in the year that they can win games. It's just a bit of a tough stretch. It happens in sports, especially in a sport like hockey or baseball or softball, where you play a million games a year. I mean, they've played, what, 50 games almost now in the season? So you have your ups and your downs, but it's important for these kind of sports to be hot entering the playoffs. And so if the Bulls want to be doing that, they've got six games left in the regular season. They host Utah this weekend coming up, and then they're going to host Vernal the weekend after that. If you can go 3-3, 4-2, 5-1, or even 6-0 in that, that's a great sign entering the playoff run for them.
Yeah.
and it would be huge for them. I'd love to see that. And then our kind of last big thing is Central and South basketball. We talked about it a few weeks ago. This is the rematch of that. South really shut down Central the first time they played. This is boys basketball. That game is Thursday at 5 at the Event Center. And trust me, that's going to be a big one. Are you calling that one?
I have a commitment. I'm not going to be able to call that one. I know I missed both South Centrals this year, Ben. I was so mad.
Is Rev calling that game though?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll be live with that game. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle because this game means a lot more. This game means a lot more for South than it does for Central at the moment, because Central with a win, you know, it's just more for them, because if they lose this game, really won't affect them rankings wise, just because, they're in already, South being 5A with RPI, it really won't push Central down too far. But South, if they lose this game, they could drop a few spots. You know, a 4A team into that 5A RPI calculations, that could drop them a few spots. So this is practically a home game for the South Colts. Speaking of the playoffs, because if South loses this one, they may lose out on a home playoff game, you know, before we get to that Final Four. So it's going to be big for them as South kind of sits around that 8. Probably won't get to 7 mark for the rankings. Yeah, I assume if with a win they'll probably stay at 8. And Central, this is big for them. I mean, this is the momentum for the playoffs. Last game of the regular season, they need a good showing here against the Colts, who, you know, struggled the last year and then this year. I mean, 3-0 the South Colts over the Central Wildcats here on the boys' side of things in the last two seasons. So Central really needs to put a good showing up, and they'll get some momentum for the playoffs, because this is a gritty team. They had a gritty win against East last week, and South is, they've been cruising a little bit. They've had a lot of big wins in the last few weeks. So it's going to be interesting how both teams come in. We know a team coached by Shannon Lane is going to come in and they're going to attack whoever they play.
That's true.
It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great game.
It's going to be a huge game. And, you know, we hyped up the last one as kind of the biggest game of the year. This is the same matchup. This will be a ton of fun. So yeah, that's Thursday night, tip off at 5:00 from the Southwest Motors Event Center. So you want to catch that game, you can check out Rev89. You can stream them for that, for those guys calling the game, if you can't be there in person. So yeah,
it's going to be a big atmosphere again, Ben. I mean, the fans pack it in there at the Event Center. It gets so loud. The bands are always there. It's always just, it's such a fun time. If you can make it out, make it out. It's one of those things here in Pueblo, you know, where you don't want to miss it.
Good stuff. All right, I'm with you. Yeah, so now we want to switch to the second half of our programming here for Pueblo Star Sports. Brandon got a chance to sit down this week with Coach Bobby Applegate of the CSU Pueblo baseball team. So we're going to jump on over to that interview.
Hello, friends, and welcome into Pueblo Star Sports. I'm Brandon here, and what a fantastic guest we have today, and definitely one of my favorite coaches here. I mean, no bias here at CSU Pueblo, but Mr. Bobby Applegate, thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing your time, and we're getting excited about baseball starting up soon, and 2023, it's going to be a real exciting season for you guys, and we're just excited to have you on the show, Bobby.
Well, Brandon, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be out here and speaking with you and speaking about our program. We're really excited about it this season.
Yeah. And last week, me and Ben were talking, Ben, my co-host, we were talking about, you know, baseball, we're getting excited. And I love the atmosphere at Rawlings Field on, you know, whether it's a cold day in March or, you know, we get those hotter games in April and May, but the atmosphere on a game day out there is just so, so great. And I love just going out there, you know, watching the Thunderwolves, and the atmosphere at Rawlings Field is just, I think it's just so much fun on any given weekend. Your squad the last two seasons, they've just been having fun out there, and I love watching them. I think you guys are, you know, getting ready for possibly your best season here at CSU Pueblo yet.
Well, it's still young in my career, but you know, we made some strides last year, and we made some adjustments on our roster this year and brought some good players in, and with addition of the players that we already have, I think that we're going to make some jumps in the RMAC, and not only in our conference, but I think nationally as well. So our style of baseball, our brand in baseball, is very strong, and I think it's something worth getting behind, and obviously playing at Rawlings Field, which is a great atmosphere and great facility. Our guys love and enjoy playing baseball at Rawlings Field.
Yeah, and I think too, with the resurfacing of the field as well, it looks so good with the turf. And do you have a preference in that as well too, with the turf compared to, you know, the all dirt out there or the grass out there? Do you have a preference with that, or do you think it's more, obviously it is more on the players, but you know, what's your side of things?
Well,
from that?
Ideally, I'd love to be more traditional, you know, and be in the grass and the dirt, but we also are in an environment where, you know, we have to get outside. And just like, you know, this past evening, you know, we got an inch and a half of snow on the field.
Yeah.
And so it would be really tough to play our game tomorrow. So the AstroTurf is a necessary portion of the game. And I think cold weather schools are starting to know that there's a big investment in that so that we can get outside and play. And we just don't, not every school has got the great indoor facility. So we have to be outside as often as we can. And the AstroTurf allows us to do that. So they've done a great job with the science and technology. It plays just almost as true as a real baseball diamond with dirt, but it certainly helps us in regards to, you know, weather elements, things of that nature.
Yeah. And before the show, speaking of indoor facilities, you were talking a little bit about the high school involvement that you guys have had up at the Art the last few weeks. And we talked about it a little before we started, but the first season that you're doing this indoor stuff with the high school teams, can you speak a little more on that? Because that was really, I mean, the 5 minutes we talked about it before we went on, I mean, really just so exciting to hear that you guys are getting that involvement with the high school teams in the Pueblo community.
Sure. Well, to be honest, the indoor facility was an exciting addition when I was taking the job. And, you know, with the space that we have a full indoor infield, and we actually want to be the development center of Colorado baseball. And so, you know, we have teams from Denver coming down. We have all our Pueblo teams. We have Rye in our tournament. And what we're doing is providing an opportunity for these guys to play baseball a little more all year round. We're trying to elevate the arms in our state so that they can play, you know, 12 months out of the year. And so they have an opportunity to compete and continue to progress their game, not only at a regional level, but a national level as well. And so if we can create that platform and we raise the level of baseball in our community and in our state, we're going to have a lot of players going to a lot of places to play collegiate and hopefully professional baseball.
Yeah. And obviously that professional baseball, obviously that's the goal, but the atmosphere, everything, I can't imagine. I'm gonna have to get out there for a few of those games, because I bet the atmosphere in there, I bet it gets a little rowdy. I bet it's fun.
It is fun. You know, it's quick pace. You know, they only go about an hour and a half clips. We go 6 minute innings. We really try to promote pace. We make sure that we're trying to take care of the arm and the workload. But those guys having an opportunity to compete where no one else in the state is competing against another team during that time on a field is pretty exciting. So the boys are really excited about it and have excelled in it. And you've seen progress of those guys getting better each week. So this will be the last week of it. We did 4 weeks this year. We're hoping to maybe do more and add more teams to it next year, because there's been such a great following and a great appreciation for having this facility.
Yeah. Yeah. So really exciting. I love when you brought that up. I was like, wow, really? Like, it just sounds like such a good time. So going back, I want to talk a little bit about you, because I feel that, you know, people just, you know, they know you. You're the Thunderwolf back here. And it's just so exciting to see. We were at the Damon Runyon Days Home Run Derby a few months ago. And gosh, Tony Wright, I mean, he could have talked about you for a few hours. So he was talking about you. But I just want to talk a little bit about your background. So played two seasons at Southwestern Community College in San Diego. And then you came here to CSU Pueblo, then USC. And then, I mean, just a fantastic career at the collegiate level for you and the way that you played. And how would you describe, you know, your style of play back in the day when you were slinging it?
Well, I'll tell you, I grew a lot. Obviously some really good baseball in San Diego, and I got to play with some really good players. And so coming out, it was a new environment. You know, there wasn't the internet to find out what Pueblo and Colorado baseball was all about. So I didn't know what the weather was going to be like. I didn't know what altitude baseball was like. And so we had a lot of new challenges. And to be a part of a new program that just emerged in the 1994 season, every player was brand new, you know, so you couldn't look around and say, hey, what do we do next? It was new to everyone. And so really it was is quite an adventure. And to be a part of building a program from the ground up, not very many people can say they've ever been a part of that. So myself and my teammates are the 94 season. I mean, we were the original bricklayers of this program. So it means a lot. There's a lot of pride in our program. And we did a lot of things, you know, to get that lifted off the ground. And obviously, special thanks to Dan DeRose and President Shirley at the time, who actually brought that program back. It was exciting. It was what our community needed, and we excelled during that time.
Yeah, and one of those things too, where you guys see, you see pretty good success in your first few years, and you know, people, you know, they always think about football. I feel like right now, at least with my generation, they they think about the Thunderwolves and football coming back in 2008. But I mean, nearly the same situation with you guys starting in 94. I mean, I can't imagine the pride. I mean, and just the atmosphere too, of you being able to coach there. And literally, I mean, the team that you guys helped found, I mean, just is so awesome to me. And I'm sure that definitely translates to the players and your squad's chemistry out there at Rawlings Field.
No doubt about it. I mean, we had a great blueprint producer and coach, Stan Sanchez, and he did a great job of, you know, handpicking every player. You know, we had a handful of Pueblo players on our, in our program at the time, and California players, and some guys from all over the country. And we did a great job. I mean, Coach did a great job of just helping us realize the vision of what he was trying to accomplish here, and the vision of the athletic department. And we had great buy-in from every player, and everyone played for as hard for as everybody as they possibly could. And, you know, to go out and do what we did the first couple of years was pretty amazing. So, you know, it's something that I'm really proud of and really blessed to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a really exciting, I think, moving forward for this season. And then, after your, you know, collegiate career here, you, started your coaching career as well. And then, I mean, you guys, the success, I mean, going to the national championship to, you know, that in 96, I mean, that, what a jump that was from 94. We're setting the bricks, and 96, we're making appearances at the national tournament. I mean, right. Real exciting there.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And again, that was through the realization of Coach Sanchez, it's putting the right players in place. You know, we were knocking on the door in 94. We felt a lot of confidence in that 94-95 seasons, just because we played Division I baseball in our non-conference schedule, and we had great success about those with those guys. And so, you know, we felt, you know, we were ready to take the next step, and we did, and we got to the national stage at that time, and got to play in Montgomery, Alabama in the Collegiate World Series. So, you know, it was a lot of work, and it was exciting, and you know, I'm just trying to get our program back to that stage again.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, between your collegiate playing and collegiate coaching career, I want to hear you talk about this a little bit. You played for the Pueblo Bighorns of the Texas Louisiana League. I didn't know this before getting ready for this interview. What was that like? I mean, the Pueblo Bighorns, I've never heard of that before in my life, being a Pueblo native for 21 years. I mean, talk about that a little bit. That sounds exciting.
You know, it really was. I had a great junior year in 94. And so I was really excited about the possibilities of the next level starting my senior year. And unfortunately, the first game back in opening day against University of Wyoming, I actually tore my knee and had a completely torn ACL that season. And so I tried to continue to play, and I was hoping to play organizational ball, but I ended up having to go the independent route. So I was really, really proud to be a part of the Pueblo Bighorns. That was, you know, the first team in that Colorado region, the Texas Louisiana League. And so to play at our home field, and I got to represent our team, and myself and Benji Caber, who was our starting catcher at the time, had an opportunity to play, you know, it was great. So one, I get to play in front of our community, the hometown, my home field, with one of my teammates. I'm playing professionally. I'm getting paid to do it. It was really, really exciting. And, you know, it was great baseball. We had Jim Essien was our manager. We had former big leaguers like Freddie Tolliver and Kelly Mann and guys in the Cubs organization, and some teammates that I still stay in touch with now that are doing great things in Major League Baseball. So what a great experience for me. And I was just blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah. I had no idea of it before this interview. So I saw it. I was like, wow, I got to ask him about that. That is just so exciting. So, you know, obviously going into that, you started your, you know, collegiate coaching career, a lot of stops in that way. And, one of the things that stuck out to me was at Air Force, you were on the boxing coaching staff as well. That's correct. So, I feel like just that, and just by your stature as well, I think out of all the CSU Pueblo coaches, I'd like to get into a fight with you the least amount. And in the flip side of that, I think you could win any fight with any other CSU Pueblo coach, but talk about that a little bit. I mean, That's it. That is just a rabbit hole that is crazy.
Well, the Air Force Academy is a wonderful place, and I got a chance to start my Division I coaching career there. And one of the things that we had to do as an employee, as a coach at the Air Force Academy, we had to teach classes too. And I became friends with the head boxing coach, Ed Wishers, who is now retired, but still helps out with USA Boxing. Loved baseball, kind of took me under his wing and really started to teach me a little bit about being in the ring. And so he selected me as one of the coaches to keep coaching boxing. And so in my fifth season, I got an opportunity to be with him in the ring, and I wouldn't travel with them, but I would help them in a lot of their things. But I did get to go with him on a trip out to Army once. And I got a chance to work the corner for a kid that was at the Coast Guard Academy. And so I've told Coach Wishers that I'm the only coach that's been is the only undefeated boxing coach in Air Force history, because we went 1-0. Our guy from Coast Guard ended up winning. So that was great. And so, you know, I had to teach several other classes, you know, besides boxing. I actually taught the unarmed combat classes. So there's a series of combative courses that we got to teach those young men and women to, you know, teach them about confidence and taking care of themselves. And then I was teaching softball and basketball and racquetball and those types of things. So that was just a part of the standard of being a coach at the academy, besides being a baseball coach.
Yeah, it's just adding to the resume.
Yeah.
Most likely to win the fight out of all CSU Buffalo coaches. But obviously that's a small stop on the road for you through your collegiate career. I mean, it's pretty much just been baseball your whole life, with, you know, playing just immediately into coaching. I mean, just literally just years and years of baseball. And you spent a lot of time too at BYU, and you mm-hmm. had a great coaching career there as well. And I think, you know, just everything, you know, what was the biggest difference going from your time at the Division I level, now coming back to Division II? Obviously you're the head honcho here at CSU Pueblo, but, you know, what was the biggest transition for you coming from that Division I level down to Division II?
You know, to be quite honest, it hasn't been a huge transition. You know, when we were going through the interview process with Dr. Plinsky, there was a lot of conversation about what the expectations are and wanting to win and making sure we put ourselves in the right position to do that. And I'll be honest, I mean, I've been to a lot of stadiums in the Division I world, and our facilities match up with quite a few of them. And so there's a little bit of a Division I feel here. And as I tell our guys, big time is what we make it. So, you know, to me, if we feel like we're in a big time, you know, facility, then we are. And to be quite honest, we do have a big time facility. And so what I'm trying to do is just teach our guys and teach them the game of baseball and the game of life, that this is just another stop on wherever they're trying to go on their journey. And hopefully it's beyond college, you know, to the professional level. But I think the biggest thing really may be the resources, you know, and just, you know, there's a lot of teams. I mean, if you think about maybe the top Division II team, they might be spending $25 million a year in their athletic department, where like an LSU is spending $225 million a year in their athletic department.
Wow, yeah.
So, I mean, those are some big jumps in regards to, you know, what the student athlete experience is all about. So, but we still provide them with our players, you know, that Division I feel, because to be honest, I've been out of the D2 world for so long. I spent the last 23 years in Division I. I don't know any other way to run it other than like a D1 program. So these guys are getting a D1 experience in the way we train and prepare and get going for our games.
Yeah, I'm sure the players are appreciative of that too, that, you know, that culture. It's, you know, it's not just the facility. It's not just that. It's you having that, you know, Division I mindset and everything, you know, going to the professional level. So I think the players are probably appreciative of that too.
Well, they probably don't know what they don't know,
yeah.
But, you know, but the thing is, we're working really hard to get them prepared for our level of play and then hopefully for the next opportunity in professional baseball.
Yeah. So before we get into this season, one of the landmarks too that stuck out to me in your resume was your stint with the Kansas City Royals in their department. Talk about that a little bit. I mean, what was that jump going from, you know, the collegiate level, you know, being this guy who, you know, you're a great collegiate player, then collegiate coach, and then up to the Kansas City Royals organization? What was that like? Yeah. And, you know,
there was a little bit of a gap in my coaching career from Air Force to BYU. And so I had a year where I got a chance to be an associate scout with the Kansas City Royals. And so it wasn't too far off from what I was already doing being a collegiate recruiter. But now just in my region, I had an opportunity to really just focus on the guys who are professional standouts, you know, opportunity to go into the draft. And so, you know, I just had an opportunity to sharpen my skills as an evaluator and reported to one of the Four Corner guys at the time that was with the Kansas City Royals. So I was really blessed with that opportunity to, you know, be affiliated with them for just a small time before I got my next college opportunity.
Yeah. And you know, the professional world, it's like you said, I like that parallel you drew because you were doing essentially the same thing at the collegiate level. And then you just sort of moved up a notch and did it professionally. That was that transition and, you know, coming back to coaching after that, obviously, did you prefer that collegiate experience more to the professional one?
I do enjoy the collegiate experience. You know, the interesting thing about professional baseball is everyone has their role. You have the scouting department, you have the player development standpoint, and these guys continue to make their jumps every level. As a collegiate coach, you know, I get a chance to be the scout, the player development, and obviously the mentor, teacher, and coach that we're trying to be for that person. So we get a chance to do it all, and I get a chance to foresee a little bit of what I saw, you know, what they showed me on the field and help them, you know, realize their dreams and help them chase their dreams. So I get to be a part of every step of the process.
Yeah. And that whole process, all about being, you know, that collegiate coach. And I think, you know, from the last 2 years, I mean, we've seen you take it in stride. And I think the consensus here, you know, not even just on campus, but around town is, you know, Bobby's doing something right up on the hill at Rawlings Field. So I think this season might be primed for the best one yet. And let's talk about this season. I mean, you guys start, this will be before your guys' opener on Friday when it airs on Monday. So, I mean, looking forward to the season. I mean, how's the energy right now going into the season? What's the vibes?
The energy's high. You know, the boys are excited. We've trained extremely hard this year. We have great team camaraderie. The buy-in from our players is great. We've done a great job in regards to developing the whole person, not just the baseball player. We've done a great job in the classroom. I've been really pleased. The last three semesters, we've had over a 3.0. So we're really trying to make sure that we do our part in the classroom and educating these guys and arming them with things that they can be better at once they graduate out of our institution. We've also worked really hard at reaching out to our community with a lot of our community service hours. And, you know, and I feel like, you know, we do have a great facility in Rawlings Field, and we certainly would love for more people to come out and watch us play. But I think that by extending the hand and helping others out, that they would get behind us and get a chance to meet our players and find out that they're worth, you know, getting behind. So we're really excited about the relationships that we've made at Runyon Field and some of the partnerships that we've made with the fairgrounds and doing some of the parades around you know, around our community. And so we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
But our energy's high. I think our players are excited, our coaches are excited, and there's a lot of our community that's really excited to watch us go out and play.
Yeah. Here at Student Media, I have a few classes with Dylan Weaver. And he obviously, you know, you want every student athlete to be excited, you know, be pumped up about going to this end of the season. But I mean, the energy, he's been talking to me about it. He is really excited about, you know, this squad you guys have moving forward. Who are some of those names that, you know, some of those players this season that you think are, you know, on that cusp of having, you know, just a fantastic season?
Well, we have some returners that were strong performers last year. We have our center fielder, Noah Hennings. Our first baseman, Reggie Williams, our starting shortstop, Trey Vasquez, our catcher, Brady Pruitt, who I felt like had a great year for us last year and has got a chance to really emerge as one of the top catchers in our conference this year. Zach Pratt, who's going to be our Friday night guy. He did a really good job, though he ran into a couple weeks of injury last year. He's healthy. He's done a great job of just his preparation. And that's one of the things that we're trying to work on is making sure that these guys start learning how to prepare and create routine that's going to be almost equivalent to what a professional is doing. And these guys are doing a great job with their preparation.
And now this has been fantastic here, Bobby. Before we exit and obviously start the season out tomorrow, I want to talk about real quick. I'm going to pull up the score here real quick. The runs that you guys have been putting up in the last few seasons, some of the games, it's just it's insane to me. I mean, they look like football scores. And the game I was thinking of, the game against UCCS at Pack the Park, 22-20. I mean, that's a Thursday night football score. And you guys put it up at Hobbs Field. That was just outstanding. You guys score some huge runs. And that one, I was just watching it all. I was like, I was watching, you know, just a clinic of offense. So that was real exciting. You guys can definitely score some runs on the diamond.
You know, that's one of the things we're trying to pride ourselves on, is trying to find multiple ways to win. We're going to win a big score game. We're going to win a 3-2 ball game. But that particular day, you know, the elements were against us. I mean, the wind was blowing straight out about 20 miles an hour, and anything in the air seemed to get out of the yard. But we, you know, we prevailed, and that was a good win for us, especially on Pack the Park night.
Yeah, that was real exciting. That was a fun one to watch. But upcoming, we'll have for the Thunderwolves, we'll have some great games coming up, and we'll be live. So if you can't make it out to Rawlingsfield, which I would highly suggest making it out to Rawlingsfield, we'll have some games live on the air for Rev 89, and we'll be live every Sunday for that. And then obviously on GoThunderwolves.com, we'll be live out for the stream. So we're going to get baseball all season long, Bobby. I don't, this is my fourth year here at the university, and I don't think I've ever been this excited about a baseball season, and I'm pretty pumped up for it. This is going to be a good one.
Well, I'm excited too, and I'm excited to have our players play in front of our community. And one of the neat things that we did this year, we did this Friday night uniform, which is an all Navy with red pinstripes. It says Pueblo across the front, and we have a P hat, you know, that's going to, you know, resemble that, obviously, our community, and making sure that our guys know that not only are we playing for our university and for, you know, our teammates, but we're playing for this community as well.
Fantastic. Well, Bobby, best of luck for next season. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Go Pack.
All right. Great interview for that, Brandon. Thank you so much to Coach Applegate for taking the time to come talk with him. And what was your impression from talking to Coach?
You know, I told you before we started recording, Ben, I could talk to Bobby for hours and just talk about baseball. He's one of those guys where he's been around it his whole life, and he's just one of those baseball purists. It is just fantastic to pick his brain. You could literally talk to him about anything when it comes to baseball. And, you know, Bobby is just such a great coach, good leader for the Thunderwolves. And, you know, he's been really well received by the team coming in the, you know, last year and then now this year. So I think, you know, this season, everything, I was just so excited talking to Bobby. We literally could have talked for hours, you know, his experiences with Air Force, Navy, BYU, all up down the chain with his 1 year stint with the Kansas City Royals as one of their, you know, assistant scouters, and, you know, just really exciting. One of the things too, doing a little research on Coach Applegate was, I didn't know that he was a part of the Air Force boxing run that they had in the early 2000s. And one of those things, I told Bobby, I think he's the, out of all the coaches at CSU Pueblo, he's the one that I'd least likely like to get into a fight with. Especially with, you know, he's a big guy too, with the stature and everything. Sure. And so that coupled with the boxing, I was like, whoa, that's okay. He's definitely number one in my book.
That's interesting. He's such a nice guy. I feel like I'd be hard to get in a fight with him. Yeah. If he did, I could see that side. Well, that's fun. That's super cool. Well, yeah, thanks to Coach Applegate for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we are really excited to be covering more PAC baseball during the year. Brandon over there at Rev, they're going to be calling a lot of games, which will be a lot of fun. But for us here on the podcast, we'll be giving them plenty of shine this year as they go about trying to, you know, get this program going in the right direction and win the RMAC, hopefully. So it'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Rawlingsfield is just such a great environment. I love the energy around the team this year. I feel like, you know, even if it's not a championship season, this is going to be a team that's going to be fun to watch, you know, week in and week out, and lots of games here at home too. And even if a few of these February games are a little cold, a few of the early March games are cold, just bring a blanket, bring an extra jacket, because it's just so much fun. The atmosphere out there at Rawlingsfield, and you know, everything that they've done with the indoor facility now, and Coach Applegate talked about, you know, the high school leagues. They've been implementing all the youth of Pueblo's baseball community. They're trying to get them all up to Rawlingsfield. And, you know, it's really good atmosphere there. And there were a lot more fans on Friday than I assumed it would be, because it was really, really cold on Friday. But I think, you know, just this season for them, it's going to be a good one.
Good. I'm excited. Thank you to Coach Applegate for coming on. Brandon, thank you for interviewing him. I think that's all we got for today. man, I can't wait for more baseball.
Oh, I'm so excited for baseball and all of our spring sports. I mean, we're primed. We're going to have track coming up too.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, the Thunderwolves love to excel in the spring. I feel like we always get some good spring finishes. We'll have a little golf too. It'll be a lot of time. Yeah. A lot of good competition.
That'll be fun. And we're excited to be your home for those sports right here at Pueblo Star Sports. If you like this podcast, please go share it with everybody you know. I mean, just go around the street yelling out our podcast name. We would appreciate that. But no, for real, we really appreciate you listening. We want to keep an eye on Pueblo sports and want to help you follow our sports here in town, which we are so excited about, and there's so many to cover. So yeah, for Ben Kaysen and Brandon Samora, this podcast has been brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. If you like this podcast, please give us a rating, give us a subscribe wherever you're at, and like I said, share it to someone you know. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of your week.